Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Hey everyone, this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. There are many fan podcasts out there. And some are
There's
about Once Upon a Time.
That's true.
And we're glad that you chose to fly with us tonight.
Yep.
So this is the Roni married couple one.
Yes.
And I just wanted to point that out because there's a couple of shows out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just two of us.
That's correct.
And my name is Jeff Roni, and I'm joined by the wondrous, the lovely
Colleen Roni.
Yep. And just to give a brief kind of synopsis of what we do, right after the episode on Sunday nights, when there's a new Once Upon a Time episode, we do a First Thoughts, which is our first stab at what we saw, discuss some things in the episode, and then we get a number of voicemails throughout the week, and this is the night where we play the voicemails and we discuss what was in the voicemails.
Yes.
So this is not where we talk more about the episode ourselves. I mean, we may mention things here and there.
Well, sure, because we do watch it right before, and so it helps us remember what was in the episode, and maybe we glean new things out of it. So
right. But with 19 voicemails, if we went in depth for a half an hour or 45 minutes, it would be a long show.
Yeah.
So we need to kind of focus really on the great voicemails yep. that we get. And on Saturday night, that's when we do our live show, 7 right. p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
And anything can happen. It is a fun, wild time, and anything can happen.
Yes. And it's we've had some pretty fun events mm-hmm. on those Saturday night shows.
So before we jump in, I did understand that we need to mention something.
Yes. We were requested to mention that if anyone is going to be at the Emerald City Comic Con this weekend, Tyler, whose Twitter name is Wraith Kelso, he will be dressed as Jack Sparrow. So he wanted to mention that he's up there.
Yep.
So
excellent. And mm-hmm. that's a fun time. It's kind of like a Comic Con.
Well, yeah, it is.
So
I think it's not the San Diego Comic Con.
Right.
It's not the big one, but it's Emerald City. Yeah, Emerald City, which is Seattle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Very good. So we'll post.
Sorry, congested a little bit.
We will post mm-hmm. Tyler's Twitter name in the show notes so you can follow him and say hello and howdy. So
yeah, if you're a oncer and you're up there, he's saying you can find him.
Cool. We are going to jump in to the voicemails, and here is the first one. Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Brian Martzoff, or Big Brian, from Greenville, South Carolina, and I just listened to your latest voicemail show, and had a few thoughts come to me. I know one of the things a couple people talked about were some of the things in the show, like Mr. Gold handling the lamp, and, you know, was that a point of foreshadowing, or the Blue Fairy? There was another one that was mentioning about the Blue Fairy and how she was, you know, mentoring Nova, and was that a foreshadowing as she was going away? And I think sometimes they just do these things for setting. It might be that these other things could happen, but, you know, not everybody kind of, you know, obsesses about the show like we do. So maybe for somebody who hasn't been noticing all along how cool all the things are in Mr. Gold's shop and how many of them do attach to the things that happened in the fairy tale world, they're maybe driving that point home by having him handle one of the more prominent items in the show, like the lamp. And also the, you know, the good fairy, that her relationship with Nova, it was kind of cute as it, because it was updating, you know, just like we had the dwarves doing an intervention for Snow White. Well, we had the Blue Fairy being like a workplace mentor in her training of Nova. Like, we all have to go to our jobs and learn, and we have various training programs, and, you know, and I think maybe that they were just kind of, you know, in having that relationship, it wasn't so much to say that the Blue Fairy was going away as it was just to do this modernizing of the fairy tales and touching on that. But had one other kind of thought. What if Storybrooke is in the same world as the fairy tale world, but just the fairy tale world was a part of history in that world? So I know some years ago there were some science fiction and fantasy authors that did some stories that are sometimes referred to as the magic went away, but the magic may return type of a world, where magic was a finite resource and there was this, you know, fairy tale world, basically, back in that sort of medieval period where there were all the witches and dragons and stuff. But then eventually the magical resources ran out. And then eventually it came back. Well, what if August Booth isn't just a writer, but maybe he's a historian? So he's looking at all this fairy tale stuff that happened.
Cut off, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
So did you want to talk about this?
Does he call back?
Yes.
Well, let's finish this one first, and then we'll get back. We'll get into the other one. Let's talk about this one first.
Okay.
Okay, so handling of the lamp and stuff. I think in some cases, yeah, it is just a matter of showing that he's touching things or dealing with things that we've already kind of seen in the other, you know, fairy tale world. But I do have a feeling that sometimes it's very purposeful. And when he's examining a lamp like that, there may be something. It may not be anytime soon, but that will come into play later. That's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. So I see where he's coming from. I totally get it. And maybe it is just coincidental. It may never surface. You know, it may not mean anything later. But I kind of think it does. I don't know what, but that's the first thought. And then the second thing was the fairy tale world being historical. Is that what I got out of it? Or did you get something else out of it?
There was something about that magic was in the fairy tale world and that it was a finite resource.
Right.
And that what he was saying is some of the stories that were written back when there was dragons and all that were at a point in time where the magical resources, there was a lot of them,
right?
But then it ran out.
And so that's historical accounts of what happened.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I think that is kind of what they're trying to say, although it's not all that historical, so to speak, because it's only 28 years. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I think on some level he's right that it is a historical account of sorts, because even Jefferson said it in the latest episode. Well, didn't you study the Civil War? Mm-hmm. Did you read that in books? What makes this any different? So that's where I kind of am going, leaning with that.
Okay, very good. And we'll play the next voicemail.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jeff and Colleen, this is Brian Martsoff, or Big Brian from South Carolina again. And I was just saying, what if August Booth is a historian and he was collecting data on the past when magic was real and put together all these pieces from the places that didn't disappear from the fairy tale world when all the characters and everything went to Storybrooke and the magic effectively disappeared from the fairy tale world and it became a world much like our own. So then the question becomes, when they get a chance to go back and everything is resolved, well, that could destroy the modern world. So maybe Storybrooke and its people would choose not to go back, yet because the curse was over, maybe magic could then return to the modern world. And you could continue the series on for years as magic returns to the world and have this whole series go on beyond that. Now, it may not be as easy to attract new viewers in, but then again, I think if you do it creatively, maybe you could. I mean...
We'll keep playing it, but no, that's a great point.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory.
And
who knows?
Sure. So the key is that keeping magic alive in this town, Storybrooke, can also keep it alive in the modern day world.
Right.
So once the curse is broken, then it could continue on. And that is interesting. I mean, they did it with kind of Bewitched and different things.
That's
kind of
true.
In a modern...
That's very true.
Modern spin. So...
Yeah. I mean, there are so many places they could go with this. There really are.
I guess Charm, too. Charm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, I think it's an interesting theory.
Buffy a bit, I guess.
Oh, Buffy. Yeah.
Yep.
And now Secret Circle.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah. I think it's a really fascinating theory, and I think it, even if that's the route they want to go, then, yeah, I think they could probably attract a bunch of viewers with it.
Well, I'll throw this edge in, too, is that if August is a historian, then maybe the trinkets that Mr. Gold is keeping also together with August's knowledge, I mean, that would be interesting, too.
Hmm. Kind of like a museum?
Well, just kind of putting the two and two together.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but it would be like a museum.
Right, right.
Because if those are artifacts from the magical times or whatever, and he's a historian, then that would make it a museum of sorts.
Yep, and we'll continue to play this voicemail.
Even if the premise of a new series was, hey, magic went away years ago and now it's returning to the world, that's a pretty interesting premise for a series too. So you could either spin it off as a new series or because you're not so much confined to Storybrooke, then you could have stuff happening all over the world. Anyhow, just thought I'd share that. I know I sent you a longer voicemail a little bit over a week ago, and I'd sent it to the wrong email address. So I'm hoping if you hear this, if you haven't played it yet, maybe this will be a reminder to go back and look for that one from Brian in South Carolina, who I sent it to Jeff's personal Gmail.
And I did. I found it and played
it. And we played it on the live show.
And it was a big hit.
Yes, it was.
People loved it. So yes, thanks, Brian. Excellent.
Yep.
And yeah, it'd be interesting to see magic all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Going here, going there, Russia, England, all over the place.
Yeah, you could do some really interesting things with that.
Because there were fairy tales all over the world.
That is true.
So, all right, here is the next voicemail.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is DisneyGirl85 on Twitter. I've called once before, and I apologize for not calling since. But to be honest, I haven't really had any theories apart from the ones that Colleen usually has and Jeff has as well. So anyways, I just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job and I'm still listening and I'm a couple of episodes behind right now, But thanks to you, Colleen, I've actually decided to take up knitting. And so right now I am actually on my way to the craft store to go ahead and get some knitting supplies. So thank you so much for everything that you guys do. The podcast is amazing. So is the blog. And the website in general is great. And I just want you to know that I will definitely be frequenting Granny's Corner from now on. Okay, so thanks so much for everything that you guys do. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Disney girl. Very sweet. I talk to her on Twitter every once in a while. She'll pop up. I know she's a busy girl.
Yep.
But she's, she mentioned that she was taking up Twitter She's taking up knitting. So, mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I'm excited that this is, a craft that, I'm really new to, but I'm excited that people are taking it up because, too often there have been things that have happened, art type things that I think are kind of lost and they're not as widely known. And so I'm excited about it.
There are plenty of times where I want to say a lot of things and I don't.
Yes.
Even though I say a lot of things.
Yes, you do.
There are times I want to say a lot of things.
I know. And sometimes you don't even need to say anything.
Right. So thank you for taking up knitting.
Yes. And I'm glad that it inspired you. And I'm really grateful to the folks who inspired me. Mm-hmm. So.
And excellent.
Yes. So, yeah, we're glad you're also a consistent listener. We like that.
All I'll say is more than a podcast. Let's play the next voicemail.
Let's do that.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, Dave from Michigan. Just a couple of thoughts I had after listening to the live show. The first one, I heard elsewhere, but I really thought it was something that you guys would like to hear if you hadn't come up with it yourselves already. In episode 2, Thing You Love Most, you see towards the end of the episode, Rumpel in jail and Regina goes to talk to him and he asks her, how far are you willing to go? She says, as far as it takes. And then in last week's episode, he asks Emma if she's willing to go as far as it takes. And Emma says, farther. It's just one of those things where 14 episodes apart, you don't really notice it right away. But you put them next to each other, and it seems like maybe, they're trying to tell us something. The second thing was, Jeff, to your theory that Rumpel is Emma's father. I don't think that's the case. However, I think you are onto something. He was the one who procured Henry for Regina. What if this potion that he has, he used to in some way help Emma create Henry? Because we don't really know the backstory. We don't know if she remembers what happened, and this would be taken to a somewhat dark place, but if maybe she was roofied and wound up pregnant a couple of months later. It's one of those things that until they do the storyline, we won't know. But I think if he used the love potion that he had from James and Snow, that it would be for that purpose as opposed to Emma. But we'll see where that goes. The final thing I had that I just was thinking about is, as much as I love this show, there are occasionally, and this happens in every good show, filler episodes. And I think Dreamy was one. For the most part, it pushed the major plot lines ahead a little bit. But it was mostly just a story about a side character. And I'm worried that Mad Hatter is going to be the same way, whatever the name of this episode is. Because, I don't know, I'm looking a lot forward to a lot more the next episode called The Stable Boy, which, according to press releases, is about Regina's backstory. And this episode for me.
It cut Dave off.
Yes.
And I seem to recall that I did highlight the fact that the queen said, as far as it.
Rumpel said to Regina, Are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? He changed the question a little bit to Emma and said, are you willing to go as far as it takes? Mm-hmm. And then she said farther. And I remember we did highlight that right afterwards, because that was very much a, oh, I recall that being said to the queen.
Yep.
So we did mention that. The second thing he mentioned was...
Well, yeah, we don't think of any episode as filler episodes. That's not me, because every episode has a purpose.
Right.
Every episode fills in more gaps, and every episode has worth within the story. So
correct.
We like them all.
Well, we do. No. I don't think he was saying he didn't like it. What he was saying is, I think the what you're saying is that the stories do fill. The episodes fill in the stories. Mm-hmm. Some fill in bigger chunks.
Right.
And some fill in smaller chunks.
Yep.
So if you think of it as like a bunch of Legos, you don't have Legos that are all the same size to build something. You use multiple correct. Different sizes. And that's kind of a wacky little analogy, but it was the first thing that came to my head. So, but that's what I'm saying. The second thing was he talked about Rumpel being Emma's father.
Now, in my defense, in the show, I did say that, but then I backed away. And I tried to say that I think Rumpelstiltskin was a bit like Palpatine in that he had something to do with it.
Correct.
But not
correct.
That.
So we did talk about that. And that is correct. I just want to point that out, that we don't believe, and I know you don't believe, that he was her actual biological father.
Right.
Sorry. But he did potentially have something to do with it. That's why he created the, you know, bottled true love.
Right. And either he brought them together or something happened, something magical.
Okay. And then the other thing was Emma and the father of her baby, Henry's father.
Okay.
I thought she'd mentioned in one of the episodes when she originally told Henry a fake story. When Mary Margaret realized she'd lied to Henry about his father, she said, why won't you tell him the truth? Because he wasn't worth talking about. He wasn't worth it. He was something. And I remember her saying that he was kind of the way she made it sound was he was kind of a loser.
Right.
So I don't think that she was roofied necessarily. I mean, it's possible, I guess. But I do think that Henry's father is not really of much consequence right now.
Okay.
But I think we will find that out, and we will have more details later. So.
Sounds cool.
That's just my personal opinion.
I agree.
Okay, then.
All right. Let's play the next voicemail. Yes, Dave, call back. Here we go.
Okay.
Hey there. Dave from Machine again, finishing my thought. I just hope that this episode isn't filler. I hope that whatever they are played into is, you know, revolves around one of the more main characters. Like, I know in the real world, I think it's going to be Emma and Mary Margaret involved, but I don't know if they're going to play the same relationships in the fairy tale world. That's it, except for one thing. I tweeted to you, and I thought that a lot of people that aren't on Twitter might enjoy this little joke to end my voicemail. When Snow got upset and took the pickaxe before she took off, what if that was a blank pickaxe? Do you think when she picked it up, it would have told her that her name was Frosty? Just a funny little thought. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the show tomorrow night, cautiously, and I will probably call in with first thoughts like I usually do. Have a good night. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dave, I'm the comedian around here. Okay. Frosty, that's okay. It's a good one. Could be. Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Frosty.
I know. That was a very funny little line that she threw in there.
Yep.
So.
All righty. Here is the next voicemail from up. Above us,
okay.
In the U.S., the states are few states above us.
Okay.
Hey, this is Tyler from Seattle calling. I just finished listening to the First Thoughts after the hat trick episode, and I must say instantly that that episode was absolutely amazing. And there were a couple things that I noticed that I felt were connections. The first thing was when they were doing the hat and getting to Wonderland via the hat, and it was circling on the ground, and he's just like, after you, and she's like, together. The thing that had me just cracking up was after having seen the Johnny Depp, Tim Burton, Alice in Wonderland, there was a moment where he had Alice ride on his hat as he was walking to the White Queen's castle, and he called it Traveling by Hat. So the first thing I thought of was, ooh, this is a new twist on Travel by Hat. Cool. And then the other connection I noticed was with the maze and the alive maze that would, like, kind of eat you up if you got too close to the wall. For anyone that has seen Harry Potter, any of the movies, but especially number 4, The Goblet of Fire, in the book it didn't have it, but in the movie version, they had the maze be alive, and one of the contestants in the Triwizard Cup almost got, sucked up by the maze. She got stunned, and the maze started eating her, and it was very similar to what it was doing to those, to the guards for the Red Queen. So I just thought that was pretty interesting. And the other thing I wanted to mention was I have, since last week, seen John Carter twice, and just want to encourage everyone to go see it because, in my opinion, it is one of the most interesting science fiction fairy tales I've ever seen. It was truly a fantastic film, and I just want to encourage everyone to go see it. If you like Star Wars, if you like Once Upon a Time, I think you will probably like John Carter as much as I do. So I'm going to leave it at that, and if I notice any other connections watching the episode when it downloads again, I will call back with more. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Tyler, for calling in. And
yes, that was pretty cool, and it didn't dawn on me to remember the part where I knew Alice had traveled on the hat in the Johnny Depp movie, but I'd forgotten about him saying traveling by hat, so that was really cute. Very good call there.
And I noticed as well as we have a list of living vegetation. Vines and things and all that. But what I noticed in the last viewing is that the queen, the evil queen, actually, Regina, did have control over vines in the Red Queen or the Queen of Hearts maze. Yes. I thought that was interesting.
Well,
you would not think that would be the case, but.
Well, and I wonder if it's just that she had the ability to, I don't want to say control them, but to manipulate them, so to speak. I mean, you know, it's not like they were under her command and she could say, do this. She had to use her, whatever her power is, her force. She kind of uses the force a little bit.
Sure.
Kind of reminds me of
that. Or to open the door for sure and all that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, she did that for that. So, real quick before we go to the next one, because I keep forgetting this and I don't want to forget it. In the beginning, when the queen shows up at Jefferson's cottage and they have this conversation, I didn't pick it up the first time, but the conversation between the two of them was very interesting. And it actually made me think that perhaps they're related. Like either she is his sister or she is his cousin or she is his sister-in-law, But the way they talked, and they kept using the word family, 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 yeah. family was huge. And you don't abandon family. And there was a familiarity between the two of them. They obviously knew each other. And she talked about hard living doesn't suit you. You know, basically, he used to be very wealthy, which tends to make me think he might have been of royal birth or something. So just kind of wanted to throw that out there. I'd be fascinated to see if they're related in some way, shape, or form.
She also said something to Jefferson, or whatever his name was in Fairy Tale Land.
Jefferson.
Okay. And, but she said the same thing to Emma. The idea that you abandoned your child.
Oh, yeah.
You never abandon your child and this and that. So, it was probably in the pilot when she said that. So.
Oh, yeah. Pilot or the second episode.
Yes.
It was early when she did mention that. So.
Here anyway. Is the next voicemail. Here we go.
Sweet.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Brian Martsoff. Brian from South Carolina. Just calling about your first thoughts. You were talking about, at the very end of the show, you were talking about the Mad Hatter and how when he got his head cut off, it didn't bleed, and how it was on at the very end of the episode. If you look at the end of the episode, I'm pretty sure there were, like, stitches along his neck where either they had sutured him back together, or being that he was a hatter and he had needle and thread, you know, if they had just stuck his head back on his body and it kept falling off, since, you know, obviously the rules of the regular physical world don't apply quite the same in Wonderland. He might have got tired of it falling off. He might have just sewed it back on himself, since he had sewing tools to make hats. And the other thing was, I don't necessarily think, and this kind of gets, I don't necessarily think of Wonderland as another realm in the fairy tale world. I think of it more as a parallel world. What it reminds me of is in comic books, when I used to read a lot of comic books, there was what this, like, a multiple universes situation where there's all these planet Earths just like ours. Well, some of them are like ours, and then there's little differences from one to the other. You know, on one world, the age of superheroes started in the 1930s, like pretty much about the time comic books started being written. And then, say, on that world, Batman and Superman, you know, started in the 30s. And then later along came a guy named Jay Garrick, became the Flash, and a guy named Alan Scott became Green Lantern. And then in another world, maybe it was they didn't start developing superheroes to, say, about the 1960s. When a guy named Barry Allen became the Flash, and a guy named Hal Jordan was inducted into the Green Lantern Corps, and then Superman and Batman were pretty much the same, just shifted 20 years forward. And this was a convenient thing for the comic book companies to do for a while, to keep updating as time went on. And then they did some other things when they felt that was starting to get stretched too far. Another thing they did was when they bought another company, Charlton Comics, they sort of made that a parallel Earth, where it's not the same Earth as either of those ones I just told you, but there was these other characters that this other comic book company started. And actually, if I remember correctly, those characters are pretty much the ones that the characters in The Watchmen were based on, was the Captain Atom and all those ones that were sort of like the.
Thanks, Brian.
Yes.
I will tell you, I am comic book challenged.
Me too.
I trust your judgment on that and your information, but I cannot confirm nor deny, but I'll.
I know enough to be dangerous, but not enough to, yeah.
Now, the concept of a parallel universe and kind of twist and different, that's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
The only thing we really saw in the episode was a circular room, another circular room.
Yes.
With doors all around it. So
that was the hat. That was inside the hat.
Okay. All right.
Right? Because the hat got big, they jumped into it, and that's what transported them into that room.
Okay,
it almost felt like it was the inside of the hat, but anyway.
It could have been.
Could very well be, because remember, when they walked through the looking glass to get into Wonderland, mm-hmm. they were very tiny. Okay. The grass and everything was huge, right?
Right, yep.
So it was almost like they had jumped, when the hat got really big, they got really small, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, the other thing is, you were saying about the circular, yeah, there wasn't much to Wonderland. We didn't see much of it. Because right. I'm sure there's probably more to it. So, yeah, I think there's a good point to having it be a parallel universe.
And I guess the only thing we saw were these doors that go into these areas. And when we're talking about fairy tales and suspension of
disbelief.
suspension of disbelief. It's late, right. People. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But we see all these doors, and so we imagine that it goes into a world right behind that door. But it could be anywhere, right. Anything.
So. Well, because it could have been the doors to these other realms.
Right.
Just yep. saying, because the door just to the left of the looking glass was covered with emerald green curtains, and the emblem on the curtains looked like the word Oz to me. So methinks that if you want to go to Oz, you go through the hat and go that through the green curtain, because that's very Ozian.
So,
just my opinion.
So it is interesting that there are so many doors. I do not at this point right now know where they all are, but I would imagine that perhaps the blue one maybe is the world of Aladdin, maybe. So
there's could one that be looked like it could be Japanese or Chinese, and it could be Mulan. So possibly. Yeah, well, but I mean, but let's face facts. These stories are alternate universes from each other. Mm-hmm. They're not all the same universe.
Right.
So you have some of the same fairy tales that are taking place in the same similar area in what we see as a fairy tale world. And then these alternate universes that are rather unusual, like a Mulan that's very different from anything we've seen so far, and Oz and Wonderland. I'm just saying.
Well, and I really loved the little monologue that Jefferson gave about magic,
mm-hmm.
and about
this isn't the only world.
It was very interesting. There's a lot of layers to it, I think, obviously. And I think when you write something for television, you come at it from your point of view. And obviously, there... Just a statement of how narrow-minded or whatever, how narrow-minded must you be, or how...
Arrogant
you must be to think that this is the only real world. There are millions of real worlds out there. And it was just, I love that whole idea. There have been some really great monologues. August Booth has just mm-hmm. fantastic ones. And this was another one about seeing and believing, and you brought magic, and you are seeing it, but you're not believing it. And it was just very, very interesting. And it was interesting that Rumpelstiltskin said the most powerful magic of all is love.
Mm-hmm.
And Jefferson said that Emma brought magic.
Right.
But she hasn't found love yet.
Hmm.
So if in fact that she brought magic, I think the biggest magic of all is for her to find love. Because even in her discussions, she says... With Mary Margaret, she says, I've been walled up. I'm walled up.
She said that again.
Right.
To him.
Right.
When she was giving her, I'm starting to believe you, which mm-hmm. she's such a, man, she's such a great actress. But even Emma is a great actress, because she was, you kind of wanted to believe that she was believing, and then all of a sudden she whacked him over the head.
Yes. So, but anyway, I just thought it was interesting that he said she brought magic, and then magic is also known as love, but she has yet to find love as yet.
Right.
But I think she shall. I have a feeling.
I think she will too.
Yep. Here's the next voicemail.
It picked a pretty good time, man. I was getting pretty far off the track anyway. But the idea is, I kind of think that there are multiple Earths and actually that's what I thought of Storybrooke as first, as being a separate Earth from the fairy tale world. But now I'm wondering, okay, maybe they did shift in time, and that was where I was saying maybe, you know, they took all the anything that was magical left the Earth when the Queen's curse was invoked, and then maybe they will bring magic back to the Earth. But it could also be a parallel Earth where the fairy tale world maybe is not even really in a different time than the modern world, but it's just on a parallel world that never developed science, because they always had magic, and magic was their science, more or less. I mean, it was the thing that was the basis of their culture and their way of life. So I just wanted to touch a little bit on the idea of the multiple universes, because that's certainly what I thought of when the Hatter was talking about the realms existing side by side. And I was thinking side by side as in dimensions that are not, you can't see into the other dimension from the dimension you're in, but they're very, can be very.
The only thing I want to integrate, well, mention right here, mm-hmm. is on the floor of the hat. Okay.
Yeah.
Is I noticed, remember those that... It's not a game, but it was a sort of a game where you could put a pin in a spoked wheel.
A spirograph?
Spirograph. And then you turn it and it would make these...
elaborate patterns.
Right. And
very geometrical patterns, yes. Very consistent patterns with a spirograph. And you can make all kinds of crazy things. You can make basket weave looking patterns and tight... ellipses and they right. all kinds of things, and they had I love the spirograph. I really miss having a
this was before stuff. Apple and PCs and all that, yeah. And iPhones, people,
yeah, Google, so, spirograph, yeah, kids.
But that's what it reminded me of, the floor, that mm-hmm. design.
Yes so, it did.
And it I believe if what we're talking about here, Brian is explaining, could be the intersections of things.
Right, how things do intersect and right. overlap and do touch, even though they're very separate threads. Yep.
And it could be how things are connected, but mm-hmm. separate and also pushing up against each other, just like Jefferson was saying. So we'll finish the voicemail here.
Well, the worlds, or in the case of somewhere like Wonderland, it could be very different, where the physical laws are different and things don't work the same. And, you know, maybe some of the magic that the fairy tale world gets is drawn from other dimensions like Wonderland, which would seem to be rife with magic, at least compared to anything in our world, where, you know, we have, you know, gravity and physics and they pretty much happen the same way all the time. In Wonderland, you kind of never know what's going to happen. You might cut off your head and just keep on talking, you know. So, anyhow, keep up the great work. And I really enjoyed your insights about the Jefferson's name and Grace. That was really cool. I'm surprised that hadn't occurred to me at all. I just hadn't even thought about it at all. And that was so cool when you pointed out Jefferson like Jefferson Airplane and Grace like Grace Slick. That was very cool. Anyhow, keep up the good work, great work, and bye for now.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Now, to be honest, and actually I was shocked about this, mm-hmm. my wife, Saweetie, mm-hmm. did know that mm-hmm. about Jefferson and about Grace.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually surprised, but
look, let's face facts. You are by far much more versed in music history and musical trivia than I am for or modern music. I know things, but I don't know nearly as much as you do.
I didn't go there. I went to like Thomas Jefferson first. I went,
really?
A president.
See, do you know why I went Jefferson Airplane? Because they started off the preview with People Are Strange by the Doors.
Right.
And I went, ooh. And then everything was very psychedelic. And then immediately my head went, I started singing the song in my head, White Rabbit. Okay. I started singing Go Ask Alice. And that was where I was like, oh my gosh, that just totally fits. So it was just, yeah. It was an obvious.
My corruption thing. Of 60s rock is complete.
No, okay. It's true. Anyway, so.
No, good job.
Yeah, we liked it.
Good job. Yeah. Now, thanks, Brian. You're a deep cat, dude. You're mm-hmm. a deep cat. You come with all these concepts from comic books and everything. Mm-hmm. See, that's what's cool about you having, you being in this arena here. Because yeah. Manny's over here, too. And I know Red Red Shoes is Joseph Campbell. I know there's a lot of different folks. Deep thinking cats, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're all hanging together. So
yes, me cool. too. It's awesome.
Yep. And here's the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, this is Mason. I just caught your guys' first thoughts on Hat Trick. And I agree with you guys. It was a very good episode. I also was surprised that you guys remembered my theory about Wonderland being its own kingdom and such. In the book, Lewis Carroll or Charles Dodgson, the writer of Alice, he placed Wonderland underground, which is how Alice enters by through the rabbit hole. And what they did was they kind of spun on that idea of it being underground, I guess. But more like at the bottom of the hat, you know. Also, in the book, Colleen, you are right. There is a scene where Alice enters. The chapter is called The Duchess and the Cook. And the cook is throwing pans and peppers all over the place. And during that scene, the baby is crying that the Duchess is holding. And since she can't get him to be quiet, she tries singing a horrid poem about disciplining your children. So, and by the end of the poem, Alice takes pity on the child and takes it away from the Duchess. And when she leaves, the baby turns into a flying pig. And Alice meets the Duchess again later on at the croquet game, I believe. And she doesn't seem to care about the fact that she lost her son. I noticed that the Mock Turtle made an appearance in last night's episode, too. He was a stuffed animal at the tea party with Hatter and his daughter, which I thought was a nice nod to the original book. I like to think that... actually, I'm going to call back because I believe I'm going to be cut short.
Hey, Mason. That was awesome.
Thanks, Mason.
And you know what's funny is when we were talking about it, I was sitting there thinking to myself, it's not the queen. It's not a queen. But I knew she was like kind of royal and I couldn't remember. And he was right. It's the Duchess and the Cook. And yeah, it was... The poem she sings to the child is something about beat my child or something and beat him when he sneezes. Throw pepper at the baby and beat him when he sneezes. And wow. I'm like, it's a terrible poem. And Alice is just horrified and she decides to take the baby away from the mother. They hand the baby to her and it turns into a pig. And it's just, that was just very funny. And the pull about the Mock Turtle, that was awesome. I completely forgot about the Mock Turtle in the book. And what's funny is because it was a rabbit that she pulled, the White Rabbit, which I did, of course, think, you know, naturally Alice in Wonderland. But when I saw the turtle sitting there, it didn't dawn on me Mock Turtle. It struck me Tortoise and the Hare.
Right.
But anyway, but that was a great pull.
That's why we have such a great setup with this show, this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's different because instead of us listing everything, we really have great listeners that call in and point out things. Yep. And it's just fantastic. So Mason did call back, and here is his other voicemail.
Great.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Mason again. As I was saying, my theory about this episode is that while the Hatter was making hats, there's a legend saying that, and I posted this on the forum, there's a legend saying that people who made hats were using mercury or some kind of chemical for the felt or the color, the actual coloring or thread or whatever. And it's rumored that the mercury poisoned some of them and, or caused them to go mad. It poisoned their mind. And so my guess is that after being exposed to the chemical of mercury for about 400 or 550 or higher tries, after trying multiple times with making the hat, he just not only mentally started to go mad because he couldn't make the exact hat and such, but also the mercury might have affected his brain, which caused him to go further into it. And I like to think that maybe after some odd tries, he manages to escape and take residence with the infamous March Hare. And then by the time Alice shows up, he still might have been mad, but he was more about time because he's been there for so long, you know, in terms of Once Upon a Time's timeline. another interesting point that I found was the fact that was the hallway of doors. It's also reminiscent of the door scene in Nightmare Before Christmas, where Jack sees a bunch of trees with their respective holidays on each one, Easter, Christmas. And so I like the fact that Wonderland's door was obvious choice for the looking glass, which was very, very respectful to the stories. I like to think that those other doors could lead to the outer realms, like the main realm that all the other fairy tale characters are in, like Red Riding Hood and Hansel and Gretel. You know, like maybe a door could lead to Oz or Narnia, but I doubt we'll see Narnia. But maybe one of the doors could lead to Oz, which is what I like thinking. I guess you can say that Wonderland is its own land, so who knows? I am curious to see what happens next. Again, just thought I'd shoot the...
Excellent. Thanks, Mason, for calling.
That's awesome. Okay, so he just brought up something that actually triggered another little thing for me. This is what I love about this, when we get these voicemails and, you know, because I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. I don't see everything every, you know, the beginning, first time I see something. I like to look at it again, but I don't have a lot of time to do that. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that our listeners...
This isn't work, honey.
I know, sorry. Our listeners see things that I don't see. Mm-hmm. So I love the contribution. And when he mentioned the March Hare and the fact that the Mad Hatter would go off potentially and live with the March Hare, I realized, I wonder if the patchwork rabbit that he made represents the March Hare. Because the white rabbit that she wanted at the bazaar, you know, the marketplace, that to me was the white rabbit, because it was very much a very clean white rabbit, and that... it just reminded me of that a lot. But then the patchwork bunny that he made was a little kind of off. Do you know what I mean? It was cute and stuff, and it was adorable, but it was a little bit off. And so the March Hare was just as nutty as the Mad Hatter. So right. I kind of wonder if that was another homage to the March Hare, in that he made the March Hare, which would make them roommates, so to speak. Hmm. So just... kind of throwing that in there. Collaborative effort. Love it.
Cool.
So, anyway.
Here is the next voicemail.
Great.
Hey, it's Tyler, and got a couple things to bring up about Hat Trick. The first thing is, because I'm just rewatching it now, and I noticed that when Emma and Mary Margaret defending themselves against the Mad Hatter, and when he's wearing the hat in the room, you can see a quite intense scar on his neck from when he had his head cut off. I didn't know if you guys had noticed that or not. And then the other thing is that with the clock chiming and how the heck Mary Margaret got to the jail in time, I am almost thinking that they did one of those illusions where they start playing the clock chiming with them an hour ahead at the 7 o'clock, and then it's doing the 8th chime when Regina shows up at the jail because it's an hour later. That, or somehow Rumpel has a double of Mary Margaret sitting in the jail. One of those two. I'm not sure which is more feasible. either would be pretty interesting. So, thought I'd bring those up, and I think Hattrick might be one of my top 5 of the series so far. I'm loving it. Can't help but watch it again and again, so I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks, Tyler, so much for calling.
Yeah, I did notice the scar. I did notice that. And I went, oh, that was very, very obvious that if, and that was one of the things I think that, I don't know if Emma, if that prompted her or not to look at the book when she sat with Henry at the bench. But I think she started to kind of wonder, because if I'm not mistaken, you know, I know she saw the scar. It looked very clearly like she noticed it, and it kind of threw her a little bit. You know what I mean? Because she had to, because he said off with his head. And then that's how she kind of went, oh my gosh. So, interesting. Yeah. And then I agree with you, Tyler. I have no idea how Mary Margaret got there so fast. So maybe it is an illusion of sorts that they want us to think that the clock chimed the 8 o'clock bell, but maybe it wasn't quite 8 o'clock. I have no idea. And we may or may not ever know. Because I don't think she went through the hat, because I don't think they quite believed in the hat stuff then.
But it is interesting that you bring up maybe somebody looks like her and transformed.
Yeah.
We did see the evil queen transform into what could be the old hag from the classic Snow White cartoon.
Yes.
And so maybe someone else can. We did kind of throw around that maybe Regina became looked like Mary Margaret to put the fingerprints on the box, but you know, maybe that skill is out there somewhere. I don't know, but I love that Mr. Gold is playing both ends against the middle. Love that.
Yes,
playing both sides.
Now, what's interesting is, and this just occurred to me, did you notice when Mary Margaret sat there reading her newspaper and Regina comes in and looks at her? What does she say to her? She says, "Hello, Madam Mayor."
Right.
I don't recall Mary Margaret calling her Madam Mayor.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
So Emma does. Emma.
Yeah.
But I don't recall Regina calling her Madam Mayor.
That's a solid theory. No, it's.
I'm not saying that it is Emma sitting in there, because it's definitely, it looked like Mary Margaret. But I find it fascinating that she referred to her as Madam Mayor when I don't recall her. Now, I could be wrong, but I just don't recall her referring to her as Madam Mayor. She typically refers to her as Regina. I could be totally wrong.
No, that is a great point, and that's true. And we will play the next voicemail.
Hi, Colleen and Jeff. It's Karen from Maryland. I haven't called in a while because usually the discussion has already taken place of what I'm thinking. So I sit back and listen very happily. But I just wanted to share that during this week's episode, when Jefferson laid out the map on the piano, my first thought was, cool. And my immediate thought right after that was, Jeff's going to want one of those. Am I right?
That's true.
You guys have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to sneak in that set and grab it. because I want it. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It is a pretty cool map. But it was also kind of sparse and didn't seem to have a lot of detail on it. At least not that we could see.
Yep. But you're right, Karen. Yes, that's on my Christmas, birthday, or whatever list. It's on my Happy Thursday list. Just anyone, just bring it. Ship it to me, please. From the Burnaby Studios up in Vancouver. Thank you. All right, here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Janelle from Dayton, Ohio. I've been meaning to call, but it's just been absolutely crazy with everything that's been going on. But I wanted to leave my 2 cents worth of a couple things. One, I don't believe Catherine's dead. And going along with saying that Regina's got somebody, you know, in her purse at one time, even though the heart said it was Catherine's, I'm thinking it's, you know, Dr. Whale had something to do with that. And even though I don't think we'll see anything in Stable Boy, but even though the next episode is the return and mainly, that mainly deals with Rumpel and Balefire, I believe that Catherine's going to come back in that episode. Just some kind of gut feeling that I have. I don't know. You know, mom's intuition, I guess. I also wanted to say that, Colleen, I do agree. I believe that August is Pinocchio. But with some of the other theories that are being thrown out there, I'm starting to think maybe there's a few of them rolled into one when it comes to that enigma. I'm loving completely the the Sleeping Beauty theory that's going, you know, that was brought up in the live show that with Emma in August. It's possible, but at the same time, it may not be possible because Maleficent has already shown up. Love that woman. So, similarity, who knows? It's just awesome that all those types of connections could be made in there because that is my absolute favorite fairy tale. I also want to put a request that you guys try and read the Harry Potter books because there's so many of us that are doing Once Upon a Time. I know it's hard because you guys did Lost and a lot of us didn't, even though I tried. It just wasn't gelling. A suggestion I have, because the books can be so, I mean, the fifth book was the biggest book, and it made it into the shortest movie, and they left so much stuff out. Don't even get me started. It's why it's always better for the books. But if you don't have time, try and listen to them. Jim Dale narrates the audio and does different voices for everybody, so it's like listening to a little audio show, and you can listen to them back to back and not miss a beat. They are absolutely wonderful. Last thing I want to let you guys know about, there is a company called Zenoscope Entertainment. So I don't know if you follow comic book.
Uh-oh, oh, no. It cut her off.
Janelle.
So thank you very much for calling. She called back. So.
Okay, let's get her. That's her first it's her first voicemail, so that's really cool.
Yes.
And I'm glad she agrees with me on Pinocchio, and I do love the Sleeping Beauty. See, I did it too. The Sleeping Beauty theory that blends Pinocchio and Prince Philip together. I really like that a lot too. And Sleeping Beauty is also my favorite fairy tale.
We've seen all the Harry Potter movies.
We've seen most of them. We have not read the books.
Right. Correct. And you're right. The books obviously have a lot more and they go into more detail. So we'll have a little time maybe during the break. Hiatus.
Yeah.
So
maybe
we will see, but thank you very much.
Yes.
For the suggestion. And here is
the second half.
Yes.
Okay.
Here it is.
Hi guys, it's Janelle from Dayton again. Sorry I got cut off. Again, long-winded. It's been a while. The last thing I was bringing up is Zenoscope Entertainment. Now, I'm not sure if you or any of the other podcasters follow comic books and graphic novels, but Zenoscope Entertainment has done their own modern-day Grimm fairy tales. they do follow the fairy tales, but they also have two of their main characters is Sela and Belinda, good and bad. Sela's kind of, could be kind of like Emma, I guess, and if you want to compare it. I mean, yes, but no. She knows what's going on. She has a book of fairy tales, but they're used for moral decisions. In one, Sela is like a professor, and she comes across this girl who's having this dilemma that resembles one of the fairy tales, gives the girl the book of fairy tales to read the one particular story, and because the story makes her decision about the situation, and I think she got through it. Some of them don't. Some of them are murdered. Some of them, one girl, and then Belinda is like the bad part of it all. And but at one point in time, they're best friends. I mean, there's a big intricate story with this. And I just thought it was neat how they played on with their fairy tales and how they kind of, how Once Upon a Time counter, you know, does their own fairy tales. Zonoscope has also done a line of Alice in Wonderland, and they started Neverland also. The graphics are neat, but warning, they are very adult. As in, the women are very voluptuous and endowed and very, yeah. So that's just one warning. You can find them at, I believe it's ZenoscopeComics.com, or if you Google them, I'm pretty sure you'll find them. They are on Facebook. It's just something I thought it would be cool to look into. One last thing. I am in Ohio. And I really don't have anybody around me who is really watching the show or into it, at least in my general area. It's kind of hard for me to get out a whole lot. And was wondering if there's anybody else in Ohio, mainly the Dayton area, Dayton, Kettering, Moraine, Fairborn, all that kind of good stuff, who are into it. Maybe we can get on the forum and start chatting and try and make friends and have our own little meetups, because, you know, I'm in Ohio. I'm not going to get to go to the meetup.
Oh, no, she got cut off.
Sorry you got cut off, Janelle. But, yeah, if you're in the area and it sounds like she's on the forum,
mm-hmm.
let her know. And
yeah. And if Janelle is not on Twitter, if she jumps on Twitter and starts looking at some of the folks we're following and maybe tries that, she may be surprised that she may not have somebody who's right there in her area, her immediate area. But we've got a lot of folks who are out of states, across country lines, and they're very good friends and have become, you know, once
right.
connections.
Right.
So you'd be surprised. Twitter's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah, and Twitter is an amazing way to find people mm-hmm. that are close by you and that have the same interests. So
you'd be surprised.
It's really the go-to place anymore. So
it is. Yeah. It really yeah. is.
So excellent. So,
yeah, just a suggestion. But yeah, hopefully if some folks are listening in there from that area, maybe they'll jump on the forum and find you and connect with you. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and there's meet up, however comfortable you are. If you want to have a pizza party over in your town, get some folks together. I know that a number of folks up north mm-hmm. have already kind of got together for lunch. And
yeah.
And it's been really, really great to see that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of what it is. It's not just a podcast. It's a community. It's a family. And people hang out. They get on Twitter. They get on the forums. They're in the live show. They're in the chat room. There's just so much of connection that we can have. So, yeah. But yeah, if you're in the around the area where Janelle is, go ahead and go on the forums, I guess, at onceuponatimepodcast.com. And there's a link there, and you can go see that. But Janelle, if you're on Twitter and if you feel comfortable, let us know your Twitter name, and we can put that out there, and
yeah.
and we'll get some oncers in that vicinity.
Yeah.
So they're everywhere. Oncers are everywhere.
That is true.
So thanks for calling in so much.
Yes.
And yes, I always get myself, I'll have to check out those comics.
Yes, the Zenoscope comics is what you're talking about. Yes.
I love a good story. And we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, yeah. The Alice.
Yes.
She's talking about the adult one.
Well.
Slightly more adult themed.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I'm artistic. I'm an artistic fellow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We better play the next voicemail.
I think you should.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Dave from Michigan. Calling with a few questions, two theories, and a response to the show that I just watched for a second time. First, I think that my initial thoughts, when I called in before the show had aired that this was going to be filler episode has completely been proven wrong. I love this episode. I thought it was fantastic. I really thought that he was going to be more involved with a side character for some reason in his backstory. And so I really didn't think it was going to play into the larger details, but I have since definitely changed my opinion. I thought this was a great episode. And played into the main characters' stories. One of the theories that came from this episode for me was that the Queen of Hearts is Regina's mother. I think that that is why she's always seen her as a threat. I think that that's why she took the father and shrunk him and put him into the box. I think that we're going to see in next week's episode, which is supposedly about, spoiler alert, Regina's backstory and why she hates Snow White. I think that we're going to find out that her mother, who I believe is going to be on the show next week, did something to her based on something that Snow did or said, and that's why she hates both of them. And somehow she got her banished to Wonderland. One of the things that made me wonder about this is the time different in Wonderland? Because judging by what we know, she was she was already in her evil mode, and Snow was wanted for murder around the time that she was doing this, going to get her father. And I was wondering, it was maybe a year or so had passed after that, because Cinderella was, she had her baby, and then they got married, and then the curse happened. So then a little less than a year. Could that really have made Jefferson go that mad that quickly? Or is time stretched out and a lot longer there? So, just a thought, a theory on that. One of the things that made me laugh but also made me think was when Emma got out of the bedroom the first time, she told Jefferson that she'd already called for backup and they'll be here any second. My first thought was, who in the world did she call? The only person we've ever known that was even close to a deputy in that office was Ruby, and she went back to the diner. So we'll see how that plays out. When they go through the hat, there are multiple doors, and the first thing that popped into my mind and my buddy's mind was Kingdom Hearts. When you play it, there was a game.
Ah, Kingdom Hearts. I have not played that game, but I have heard about it.
Yes. Okay, so let's go back over a couple of these things before we run into the next part of it, just because I don't want to lose any train of thought. Okay, so glad he enjoyed it and that it wasn't just filler, it ended up not being just filler for him, so that's good. Queen of Hearts as Regina's mother. I can kind of see where everybody's going with that, but I have to say that the only thing that makes me think that it's not her mother is the fact that they had a different actress in the role of the Queen of Hearts than the woman we know who is going to be Regina's mother, who is Barbara Hershey. So I'm kind of thinking that unless this is set some other time period, which it's hard to tell where the Alice episode or the Had Trick episode fits in the timeline. To me, I just have trouble because I don't know where in the scheme of things that actually fits, but I don't know. I have trouble believing that she's her mother. I think that's almost too obvious. It's a cool idea. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just think because I know that how the writers and the folks are, they don't use different actresses for the same role. It's the same person for everything. So that's the only thing that's making me stop buying into that theory. It's a good theory. I'm not sure. I'm reserving my acceptance of it for right now. So the other thing that he mentioned was,
I think Ruby could still be backup. They could have like Ruby, a red bat phone behind the counter.
Well, and I agree with him too, because when she said that, I'm like, yeah, who the heck is she calling?
Enos. Who? Enos from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Alfred Pennyworth.
Yeah, whatever. Is
that what's going on here?
I don't know.
When she said that, I laughed. I'm like, who's she calling? Who is she going to call? Henry?
But she already,
because who's her backup? See, Henry?
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because Miss Tough Girl's sheriff, and that's her answer, is I've called for backup.
And I believe that she already knew, because she looked through the looking glass watching the sheriff's office, that he knew already there was no backup.
There's no backup.
Come on, sister. No.
Well, it's funny because she says it's a call. Well, did she remember? She did say she did get a phone call from somebody when Catherine's heart was found or what have you. That episode, she got the call from her office when she had to go. Oh no, it wasn't that episode. It was a few episodes ago. It was
Mr. Gold and break in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who called her from her office?
Oh no, yeah, you're right. It wasn't that. It wasn't the episode I'm thinking of. It was another one. Right, right, right.
She got the phone. It was the phone call when they were out on the girls' night out, and it was.
Yes, you're right.
It was for Mr. Gold's house break in, but who called her?
Sarah from Andy Griffith's show.
I don't know. It was very funny. Anyway, so
I'm getting loopy. It's late.
I know. So did we cover all the points in that particular voicemail?
I think so. If not, it was just a great voicemail. Thanks, Dave. We're getting tired and loopy.
Yeah, we are.
Please don't.
Sorry.
Review.
Go
this.
To the next.
This
go is, to, I know.
We're just tired.
Go to the next voicemail, please.
There's a few of them. Here's the next one.
Okay.
Hi, Dave from Michigan. Last time I was on here, I got cut off talking about the game Kingdom Hearts. This was a game from Square Enix. It was based on a handful of characters that people recognize from Final Fantasy, and they were being thrust around to different worlds that were all different types, versions of Disney stories. There was, Beauty and the Beast and Under the Sea and the Pinocchio, you get swallowed by Monstro. Seeing Jefferson and Regina in that weird thing that looked like a tongue with a circle of doors around it just made me think of that movie or that game. Let me see if there's anything else. Oh, and the last thing about this specific episode was the Grace's doll. When the queen is in their house and she's holding onto this doll, I was trying to see if there's any significance to it. But the only thing I can remember from it is that it's wearing a red dress, it has blonde hair, and it's wearing one of those caps that looks like what in the 50s and 60s people called a dunce cap, but then it had strings coming off the top of it. I don't know if that has any significance or if it was just a prop, but with these guys, you never know. The rest of my stuff is theories that are just more straightforward theories about the whole show as a whole. The first is, when we first started the podcast, you guys also always talked about the hints in the opening. Like, for example, this week it was the white mushrooms. I'm just wondering, did you guys decide that these weren't important anymore because they were spelled out before the episode was over? Or did they just fall by the wayside because there was so much more to talk about? The next thing that I've been thinking about is the differences between Rumpel and Regina. When Rumpel became evil and used the Zoso blade, it was more or less to save his son. So it kind of makes his story of becoming evil a tragedy. Whereas from what we know so far, Regina's became evil to get revenge on Snow. And possibly, if my previous theory is true, her mother. So the difference between the two of them is that Rumpel's turn was more of a tragedy. And I think that maybe they're trying to point us in the way that Rumpel is the one who we think should be the end game to maybe be saved from being evil. I'm not really sure. Now I'm going to hang up because I know that I'm going to get cut off before I finish my next theory, and I'll call right back.
Thanks, Dave.
Yes.
We have anxious callers because they know the cutoff is coming. They're like, I know it's coming. I got to go. Okay, bye.
Okay. You
know, we're sorry about that, but there's,
I know. A limit. Unfortunately, it's voicemail. Okay, so listen. Here's the first thing he said that just kind of struck me and made me laugh. That room that looked like a tongue with doors. I'm sorry. That just made me chuckle a little because tongue, I missed that, but that's very funny.
Okay.
Second thing was the doll. I did notice the doll. And I saw her dress as being pink, a very light pink, with the blonde hair and with the cap. What I know he refers to it as a 50s, 60s dunce cap. But actually, those were very common princess hats back in the, if you look at Renaissance art and what have you, it's very definitely princess. So what it looked like to me was actually like a Sleeping Beauty or a Rapunzel, because it was kind of a longer hair. I don't think it was Rapunzel, though. It looked more like Sleeping Beauty because the hair was blonde, and it may have just been a doll, a princess doll of sorts. Which is kind of funny because in their world, would they have had a princess doll? I just think it's very funny. So that's what I thought. I don't know if there's a significance specifically other than, like I said, it looked like Sleeping Beauty. So there's that. And then the last thing is, talking about the fact that, you know, Rumpel's evilness is born of tragedy. And that actually fits with what they both said in Heart of Darkness was that evil is not born, it's made.
Mm, yep.
So the tragedy made Rumpel evil to a degree. And then revenge, whatever happened to Regina, made her evil. And right now it looks very much that she is evil for evil's sake. But we don't know what happened, what caused it. And then Rumpel is evil appears to be evil because of the tragedy of wanting to save his son.
Yep. And the opening image in the logos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we haven't commented there, on it.
But this time it was the mushrooms, but there was also a flock of birds flying to the left. So, and there is, it's been said a number of places around that mm-hmm. right before the queen appears, there's a crow that is crowing.
Mm.
And so even now, even this time, when she was the saleswoman at the children's mm-hmm. toy yeah. wagon, you hear crows, and then the camera pans down to that wagon.
By the way, that camera angle, we just learned this weekend of sorts. It reminds me very much of the beginning of a lot of the Disney movies, right. Which we found out was the multiplane camera that they invented so that they could zoom in and not alter the shapes and sizes of the background images. So the Walt Disney Family History Museum, totally amazing. They actually have a multiplane camera and they show you how it works. It's really a cool thing. So if you get an opportunity, look that up.
Yes. Here is the next voicemail.
Hi, guys. It's David Michigan again. This should be my last call. This one is more of an overarching theory. But first, I have to defend a little bit my theory from last week because it plays into this. Last week, I said that I thought August might be Peter Pan because of the wanting Emma to believe and that sort of thing. And you shot it down because you said that Kitsis and Horowitz said at one of the panels that you went to that he was not on license to them or something along those lines. But they use him in their animations shows and every so often, and they use his name. I know this because I have a 4-year-old who loves Jake and the Neverland Pirates. And in previous interviews, they have also said that they would love to do something with Peter Pan. This plays into the theory that I heard elsewhere that I really loved, and so I decided to share it with you guys to see what you thought. The theory is that August is not just Peter Pan, but he's also Balefire. And the reason that he is able to be only 30-something when he came here is because he's also the son of the Blue Fairy. And he spent time with them for a period of time, and which is what we could consider Neverland and why he didn't age. But it would also explain why Rumpel has a, he doesn't care for the nuns / fairies. He doesn't like the fairies. And, you know, he seemed to take pleasure when he either killed or poofed away the fairy godmother. And that could be why the Blue Fairy left him as one of the reasons he hates fairies as well. I mean, there's a handful of reasons that this could be true, and I really liked it, and I wanted to see you guys' take on it, assuming that my Peter Pan theory was right. All right. I really enjoyed it this week. I can't wait to hear all of your thoughts. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
But there's a lot there. I mean, anything is possible.
True. I'm still holding to the fact that he's Pinocchio and possibly a cross between Pinocchio and Philip from Sleeping Beauty and not Peter Pan.
Right.
Because again, they've flat out said that they haven't used him. So I'm just saying that because I want to make sure. I know that, yes, Disney has licensed and has used, and other folks have used Peter Pan. The owners of the Peter Pan story is the Children's Hospital of London, and I'm quite confident that the reason those other production companies have used them is because they've gotten permission. But the creators flat out said they don't have the licensing. So that's the only reason why I'm holding firm to the fact that I do not believe for even half a second that he's Peter Pan. I know they would love to use Peter Pan, but they're still trying to work out the licensing. So that's that. As far as Balefire, I suppose it's possible. I'm having trouble wrapping my head around that. But it's possible.
We love the Blue Fairy, though.
We do love the Blue Fairy, and I can see where, okay, yeah, on some stretch that is where why Rumpel doesn't care for the fairies. I think there's something else that triggers that, but it's an interesting theory.
Hi, Keegan.
So, we'll just see how this plays out.
Sure.
I'm holding to my theory. He's Pinocchio and Philip blended together, and you can hold to your theory Peter Pan and Balefire.
What is the beautiful thing here? It's a great show either way.
Oh, yeah.
We all have fun. We all put together our theories and watch this unfold.
Yes.
It is so much fun.
It is. I agree.
And I await more Blue Fairy.
All righty.
And Ruby shows. All right. Here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Dave in Michigan again. I'm calling because something just hit me, and I'm trying to figure it out. In this episode, Hat Trick, we see Paige, or Grace, in Fairytale Land and in Storybrooke being the same age. But Henry's 10 years old now, and, you know, after being born a baby to Emma. Did nobody else in the town realize that he was the only one who was ever aging? Because apparently everybody else is the same age as when the curse happened. So is their memory of every single day hazy until Emma came and broke the curse? And they're the only ones that, Harry was the only one who realized that something weird was going on, and that's why he believes the book? I mean, it just suddenly dawned on me this is a huge plot hole that I hope that they fix or explain or something, because that's very odd that she's still the same 10-year-old little girl she was in Storybook Land. But nobody seems to put that together. That's it. Have a good one.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, now I have to segue to something else. Now the biggest thing I remember, Manny. Now I know we're segueing. Just hold on, everybody. Just put your review pen down. Hold on. Manny couldn't wrap his head around Ella being pregnant for 28 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where his sticking point was. So let's come back. So let's talk about the kids now.
Well, and that's the thing is that we've had this theory kind of come up before that did they all come in at the same time? Did they have different entry points, et cetera, et cetera? I would kind of be inclined to think that much like when Mary Margaret was talking to Sheriff Graham and he said, how long have we known each other? And she kind of looked at him like, well, for as long as I can remember. And it kind of, again, harkens to me the movie 50 First Dates. Hmm. If you haven't seen that movie, great movie. Love Adam Sandler. Love Drew Barrymore. It's very funny. It's very sweet and very cute. But if you know that movie, you know that she has short-term memory loss where she can't remember anything beyond the day. And so she thinks it's the same day over and over and over and over again. So I kind of wonder if that's what happened. And yeah, when Emma came, the curse broke. And Henry, of course, being unusual.
Well, he had the magic book. And
he did.
He may have been waiting for it.
Maybe.
So.
But anyway, I agree with you. I hope they do kind of explain it. Because it'd be nice to know.
Yep. And dun, 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 dun. Here is the last voicemail. So it's
the last
longest
one?
Show in history. Yes.
Oh,
all right. Here we go.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Colleen. It's Shannon from Napa. Hey, listen, just calling and wanted to say hello to you guys. And I hope you guys have had a wonderful week. And reason I'm calling again was to just once more thank you guys so much for just the opportunity this last Sunday to meet you guys and to hang out. I had a wonderful, wonderful time, and it was quite a surprise. And we just appreciate you guys so much for doing this, and we love you, and we love the show. So I just wanted to give a big shout-out to you guys and really, really love what you guys are doing. So in addition to, I did have a chance to listen to the feedback show and I did theories, and something that came to my mind was, and you guys can talk about this, but I'm sure a lot of the other listeners might agree, is as to why Jefferson knew about the curse. Now, it might have been talked about and I might have missed it, but I'd like to just kind of refresh and see what you guys have to say about that. So we'll see what's going to happen. But anyways, thank you again so much for the visit in San Francisco. It was an absolute fun day with you and Colleen and Max and EJ and Helga and Red. It was quite a quite a surprise. And thank you again so much. So we love you guys, and we'll be talking to you soon. All right. Have a good day, you guys. Bye.
Thank you mucho.
Thank you,
Shannon. It was a whole it was a bunch lot of, fun. Of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
The surprising, and then the looking at the cool, all the exhibits. Sea life.
The exhibits and stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why does he know about the curse and other folks don't?
Right.
Yeah. I thought we talked about it, but maybe we didn't. But my theory is that because he was trapped in Wonderland, because he was trapped there, he's kind of sort of outside the curse, but because all the realms got impacted, it kind of puts him in a special little bubble of sorts. Hmm. So he kept his memories.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's the only theory I have on that. But we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. We will see.
Yes. And it is, Wonderland is a magical place.
What is?
And I would back up your theory with this, is I think a land with a queen that is so against Regina
mm-hmm.
would repel the dark curse and say, not here. No way.
Yeah, she could.
And I
she
just
seems to have think, enough. She doesn't seem to have a lot of magic. She just seems to have a lot of power
right.
and a lot of authority,
right.
so to speak.
So what I will end this show with
mm-hmm.
is that we've had a lot of really cool blog posts
mm-hmm.
over at the blog at onceuponatimepodcast.com. Mm-hmm. And one of them was all the different nods to the fairy tale land and forests in Jefferson's house. A lot of them, whole bunches of them.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
And we also talked, there's another blog post about the faceless warriors of the Red Queen and the Evil Queen.
Which, by the way, her interpreter, the hat, did you notice? It looked a lot like a...
Bishop's hat?
A little bit, yeah, but it was definitely like a chess piece, the top of a chess piece.
Yep.
So, and that's kind of been a long-standing sort of analogy, is that Alice in Wonderland is very much like a chess set. Mm-hmm. So.
Hi there, this is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
So, that's it. And we want to say thank you so much for listening. Yep. We send big love out to you.
We do.
We never, ever, ever take anything for granted.
Nope.
We are so happy that you download. We're so happy that you listen. We're so happy that you subscribe and you connect with us and you talk to us on Twitter. We are so humbled and thankful for all of it. So have a great day. Have a great week.
Yes.
And we look forward to chatting with you and talking with you and having all kinds of, you never know what's going to happen, fun. Saturday night, the live show.
Live show.
It's coming, and it's going to be a great time.
Yep.
So we will talk to you then, everybody.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.